the land lease and so on, that they could actually achieve a lot through democratic means. So indeed, some of these guerrilla leaders, including Raul Reyes, who made big news as he was killed in a Colombian government army raid into Ecuador a couple of days ago only. Raul Reyes led the FARC team with four other FARC commanders. Three of them had never been out of the jungle even before. And just imagine how it would be to come to Oslo, Stockholm, Rome, Paris, sit in the Norwegian parliament where the socialist parliamentarian and the conservative parliamentarian would be sitting, you know, next to each other, and they would say, we disagree on everything except that the only sensible thing in this place is to discuss how we can find a compromise on labor rights, on taxation, on distribution of commonwealth, etc.
So you have these two groups of people, people from the mountains who've been fighting all these years, government people, the two sides who've seen each other as bitter enemies for years, maybe decades. And they're traveling to a place where you hope that they will see people who are ideological adversaries work together under a system in which both get something. And they also get to do this together and get to know one another. Describe a little bit of what you saw of their personal interaction. Did you see change, for example, among the guerrilla leaders?
Big personal change. I mean, they didn't only get some trust and confidence in us as facilitators and hosts for this whole Euro tour, as it was called. They also started to relate well to each other. The last night in Oslo, we brought them, this was winter and it was snowing, and we brought them on a horse sled into the woods where we sat and drank and ate in a Norwegian cabin. And later at night, they started to sing to each other as they do in Antioquia, a region of Colombia, where one side starts a phrase and the other one has to sing the response in rhyme. It's very difficult. But it was amazing to see that they could do that. Why? Because some of the guerrilla leaders and some of these government officials and industrialists came from the same part of the country. So naively, I actually thought that this was a breakthrough.
So what happened when they got back to Colombia?
Well, my naive optimism turned out to be totally misplaced, because when they came back, the positive press releases they had jointly issued in Norway and elsewhere had caused great resentment among the comandantes who were in the jungle. They were forced to leave all clothes, etc., that they bought on the trip, every gift that they were given and so on. It was burnt up because their comrades said that there are probably tracking devices, and they were forced to repent this streak of compromise attitude. And we were back to the old lack of confidence in each other, which in a way you can understand after 30, 40 years where there has been a lot of treason on either side and a lot of people who gave in their arms and tried to integrate were killed by right-wing paramilitary groups. I mean, the whole thing went astray. And today, the war is continuing unabated in Colombia.
You know, you describe how this effort at peace ultimately fell apart, in part because there were these right-wing paramilitary groups wreaking havoc and inciting revenge. But another point that you made in the book is that you have discovered in many efforts at achieving compromise and peace that you say peace work is 1% inspiration and 99% hard organizational labor, and that Pastrana, the president of Colombia, although he had a vision for peace and a commitment to it, didn't really develop the organizational capacity to get the hard work done. And I'm wondering, what does that mean in a situation like this?
Remember, in these situations, there you start with zero confidence among the parties, with a lot of bad blood, and also a lot of real blood flowing among the parties. It's very hard.